Today, as we continue to discover the Ten Commandments, we remember that last week the first commandment was, "You shall have no other gods before me," that we should fear, love, and trust God above all other things, all other people, above anything. He is the highest, most holy. And this week, we're going to take a look at the second commandment, and we're going to launch right into Exodus chapter 20. And of course, we want to preface it with verses 1 and 2, because these go before all the commandments. "And God spoke all these words, saying, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain.'" Now, as we do all this talking about God's name, we should ask the basic questions. Like, did you know that God has a name? Now, we refer to him as God all the time, and that's okay because he is God. But he actually has a specific name that he revealed in the Exodus story just a few chapters ago. "Then Moses said to God, 'Well, if I come to the people of Israel and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, well, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you.' And God also said to Moses," we'll skip that one, okay? So for now, all you need to know is that God's name is I Am. And in the Hebrew language, that name is Yahweh. Maybe a term that you've heard before, maybe a term that you haven't. But God makes himself known to us in a way that isn't generic. It's not just a concept to refer to of God, but he says, "I am Yahweh." This is an intimate, personal, specific name. And if you've been a Christian for a while, you may have noticed that God talks about his name a lot, more than anybody talks about his name, actually. And it brings up the question, why does he talk about his name so much? Why does he always insist on clarifying things about his name or guiding us about his name? And it's for one very good reason. His name is holy. And we've talked about this in the last few weeks, and we will again. Holy means separate from the rest of the world, different than anything else, and all for God's purpose. We are a holy people because our God is a holy God. There is no God like Yahweh, and there is no name like his anywhere. His name is different. It's precious, and it is absolutely not to be treated like anyone or anything else's name. And this actually isn't a foreign concept to us. We do that all the time, and we witness it all the time. People and companies do this. They want their name to stand out. They want to be the only one with that name. They want the name to be protected. They want it to keep its brand value. For example, I'm just remembering this. My wife Hannah, she comes from a small town in central Illinois with a restaurant called The Burger King that had the name before Burger King ever was developed. And they were in years long of a lawsuit, and they won. So they are the original Burger King, and Burger King, as we know it, is not allowed to build a franchise within 30 miles of that location because the name is protected. That's an obscure one, I know. Hannah, I'm glad you did like that one, okay? But maybe you are familiar, right? Anytime you have or cook Italian food or even pizza, what do you put on top? You put Parmesan cheese, and usually it's the stuff from the grocery store, the Kraft shaker bottle that's all ground up, and with that kind of Parmesan or others, you don't really know where it's coming from. You don't really know what the taste is going to be from bottle to bottle or brand to brand, and maybe you didn't know this. Look at the bottle of Parmesan that you have in your fridge, and you'll see that one of the ingredients is cellulose. It's pretty much sawdust, right? It's wood fiber that keeps the Parmesan from caking in your fridge and during transportation. So it can get all kinds of messy, but there is one brand that stands out above all the rest. Parmigiano Reggiano, the true king of the Parmesans. And this Parmesan, you know, comes from a specific region the Reggiano region in Italy. It is sourced from there, produced there, exported from there. It is aged there, and every single one goes through the same process, has the same stamp, tastes the same, no matter where in the world you buy it, so that by that name, you know it is good if you are buying that name. The same thing with champagne. Any wine can be called wine, but only wine that is made from the grapes of the Champagne region in France can be called champagne. And if you even try to use both of these names, you will be sued until the day that you die. I'm risking a lot even showing you pictures of these products today. But it's worth it. I'm no hero. All right, let's move on. But to the nth degree beyond that, God's name is distinct. It is to be honored. It is above all the other names, and it shouldn't be sullied by someone using it in a way that it shouldn't be, or corrupting the holiness of that name. And so God's name is just separate. And as we go through these examples in scriptures, I want you to know that there is, of course, the name Yahweh, but God has also revealed himself by different names because he's revealed himself as different persons in the Trinity. So when we talk about Jesus, Jesus is God. So the name of Jesus is also to be treated as the name of God. Same with the Holy Spirit. This is all God. Okay? Now let's see what the New Testament has to say about God's name. Therefore, God has highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. He is above. His name is above any other name. So not only is it distinct or separate, but this name has different properties than any other name. It has more power than any other name. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, and Jesus has become the cornerstone. And there is no salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So this name of God, it is powerful. It can do things. It has an effect, and it can even save. But as we get into the details of this commandment, one of the questions I was asking as I was preparing for today, that if God has this name that is so precious, and there is a real possibility for us to misuse this name, why does he share his name with us at all? Why open that can of worms? Well, God reveals his name to us for a couple of reasons, and they're very good reasons. First, God reveals his name so that we may know him. We just read in Exodus, right, that all of these things are spoken by the Lord our God, who has delivered from the Egyptians and out of their slavery. Okay? He wants them to know that I am the one who does. I am the real God. I am capable. And my name represents all that I am and all that I have done. Second, God reveals his name so that we may call on him, which we need very frequently. Okay? In Genesis, this is in Psalm 50. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. This is an invitation to do this. Next, God reveals his name so that we may proclaim him. Isaiah in the Old Testament says, you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. How? Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples, and proclaim that his name is exalted. It is lifted high over any other name. Now, those are all good uses for God's name. Those are appropriate. Those are good for us. They give him glory. But we can use God's name in vain. But what does it mean to use something in vain? We use the expression sometimes, right? All of our effort was in vain. It was for nothing. So when we use God's name, it is in a casual way, in a useless way that benefits or profits nothing and no one. It doesn't have the effect that it should have. So how do we use God's name in vain? Using God's name in a way that is casual, worthless, or as a curse. Now, we all could appropriately, in a time that we truly are calling on God, use the phrases, "Oh my God." And if we are imploring Jesus Christ of something, we can say, "Lord, Jesus Christ." But if you're walking around the corner and you're scared by something and you go, "Jesus Christ," that's not how you should use that name. If there's a plot twist in the movie you're watching and you go, "Oh my God," that's not what that's for. These are garbage uses of the name of God. They make his name trivial. They make it mean nothing. That's not treating God's name as distinct as any other name. That's even putting it lower than anything and using it in a wasteful way. And that does not honor God. The second way is using God's name to gain or manipulate through witchcraft. This is one of the more odd ones, very common back in the day, maybe more common today as that trend is starting to grow, unfortunately. But this would be literally invoking a spell or a curse using God's name. So if I were extremely angry at somebody, I wouldn't do this. This is just an example. I would say, "I curse you in the name of Yahweh," which I don't. It's just an example, okay? But anything like that, or if I wanted some sort of a special benefit or blessing and I conjured up some sort of a spell and I used God's name as a magic charm and all of that, but God says absolutely not. First of all, you are not allowed to participate in any of that sorcery or witchcraft or superstition because it's not real. And on top of that, using my name as your God in the mix of that, it perverts my name. It confuses the people. It's an absolute mess, so don't do it in the first place, and make sure my name is kept out of any of this witchcraft. Okay? Next, it's using God's name to deceive people by teaching falsehoods about God. And we have unfortunately witnessed this ourselves. We have probably done this ourselves. But maybe some of you have seen on television or online, or you have heard of these are so-called pastors who tour around, or they're on television on a big platform, and they say, "I have received a word from God, and he has told me that you should give me your money as God's servant. This is the will of God." Or, "God has told me, as your friend, he's revealed it, what you should do," when he really hasn't said that to you, to manipulate your friends or get them to do something. Or, this is a darker one, but you know what? I know that technically this affair isn't right, but I have this feeling that God's telling me it's fine because we're happy for the first time in a long time. These are all perversions of God's name. These are using them as lies to deceive other people, to get something for yourself, and it drags God's name into falsehood and deception, and that's the opposite of who God is. So don't do it. Then another one is giving ourselves credibility or swearing in his name. And we've seen examples like this all the time, right? We've even used them all the time where we go, "I swear to God, I'll pay you back this time." Or, "Please, please, please, I swear, God is my witness, so God, strike me down. I will have the shipment to you tomorrow by 6 a.m. And we think it gives us credibility. We think that if we somehow get God involved, that it'll make it more possible, or we'll become more reliable in the things that we promise. But as we read in our scripture for today just now, here's what Jesus has to say about that. "You've heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, by Jerusalem, which is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head even, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil." The effect that all of this swearing has is that, again, we're hoping that by using God's name, our credibility and believability will increase. But what happens instead is that God's holy name and his credibility are always dragged down as we try to bind it to our own names. So don't do it. And then the last way is that we live lives that do not reflect who our God is to the world. And it's not just when you're wearing your cross necklace. It's not just when you have your tattoo with the Bible verse or your church logo on it. It's nothing like that, or not just that. You are made in the image of this God that we have been talking about. You bear his image. And so everything you say, everything you do, everywhere that you go, you are his image to the world. You were marked by his name in baptism, and you always reflect God. People are always watching. So as you can see, there are lots of ways to use God's name in a vain, useless, casual, destructive way. And it's almost too easy. It's scary easy. Did you know that Jewish people to this day, they refuse to use God's proper name, Yahweh? They do not say it. It is highly forbidden for them to say it. And the reason they do this is because it's a safeguard that if they never even get used to using God's proper name, then they can never use it in vain either. But that's extreme. And that's swinging a little too far on the side of caution. It's a noble thought to begin with. But on that side, we also then forget all of the blessings and the promises and the power that is attached to God's name. And so with the possibilities of taking God's name in vain, when God tells us not to do that, it's not just a straight don't do this. Anytime God commands something to us, he's not just prohibiting something, but he is inviting us to do the exact opposite that is good for us and will glorify him. So when we ask, how do we keep God's name holy, we do a couple of things. And Kim, my slides aren't working, so can you give me one more slide? And then one more. And then one more. And then one more. Perfect. I will guide you. I'll shepherd you through the rest of the sermon, okay? First, how do we keep God's name holy? Use it properly, okay? Seek from him all good things for yourselves and for others. Do we have another slide? Let's go check, Kim. All right? Yes. John 14, Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. God is the source of all provision for us and for others. Next, call upon God in times of trouble. Let's see what God says on our next slide here. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. And we in our lives all the time, there isn't a time where we don't need God. We don't need the safety and the refuge. And as we call upon his name and run to him, that's exactly what we receive. So call on his name. That's a good use of it. You cannot wear it out when you use it like this. Next, acknowledge in thanks and praise that all good things have come from him alone. Let's take a look at our next verse. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God is so generous to us. He provides not only our salvation and our eternal life, but even in the here and now, he provides all good things, all blessings, all provision. And our response to that should be with thanks and praise in his name. Next, speak and teach truthfully about God in accordance with his word. Don't lie, don't deceive, don't use his name for your personal gain. But in the name of God, go teach his glory, his salvation, his goodness, his forgiveness to all people. Let's see what Scripture says for us. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. What a charge, what a command, what a blessing for us to be able to do that. And next, live like his child. This is one that is the hardest, but probably the most powerful one. Take a look at this scripture. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. People do see you. They do notice. They observe your character. And you, again, bear the image of God, and you are the image of God to the people of this world who do not know him. So what you do and say, they see. And if they see that you are good, they will know that it is because your God is good as well. And those are the examples that we have for today. Now, as we conclude, it's important for us to know that this is not just an abstract concept, right? This concept of a name, it can be a little kind of floating in the air, but it's important for us to know that God's name isn't just a name, it's not just a word. God's name is powerful, it is capable, it is accessible to us. It is an initiation and an invitation into deeper relationship with him. And so as his people, every single day, we want to do, again, the opposite of taking God's name in vain. We want to use it as the blessing and the gift that it is. And so we have confidence in that name. We run to that name for safety and for refuge. We have all of our boasting, not in ourselves, but in that name. We call upon that name for salvation and deliverance and help. And as we gather here today, we are going to take a time to repent of when we have misused God's name, and we are going to take a time of then asking God, help me by your power to use this name properly, so that as we go out from here, everything that we do will glorify our God and his holy name. And this is our word from God for today.